Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill and the rod of God in my hand, with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy or weary of being held up. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, and one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." Yahweh Nissi, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." The title of the message this evening is "Stand by Your Man." Stand by your man. And the subtitle is "Supporting Your Leader." Stand by your man, supporting your leader. Why is it important that we support the man or woman of God that we are called to serve under? Well, the selfish answer to that is that things go better for us when they're going well for our leader. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." Not that would be of no benefit to them, but that would be of no benefit to you. See, our leader's main or primary function is to get before God and to bring to us direction and guidance that will ensure that we live a life of victory and that we fulfill the destiny that God has planned for us. Who knows, his plans are always for good, never for evil, always plans to give us future, to give us a hope, to prosper us. Hallelujah. When I first started to meditate on this, and God began to stir this message in my heart, first of all, I was going to subtitle the message, "Praying for Your Leader." But I realized that there are other equally important ways that a leader needs to be supported. And to be honest, there's a lot of Christians those days for whom the concept of even having a spiritual leader doesn't really sit well with them. But I'd just like to say quite categorically tonight that they are out of order scripturally, if that's the way they feel, if that's the way they believe things are supposed to be. As far as scripture is concerned, let's just put it nice and colloquially, bang out of order. Amen. Well, not even got one amen. Oh, well, okay. Maybe I'm talking to you tonight. Maybe that's you tonight. Okay, well, hang on to your seat. An old preacher friend of mine used to say in Southern America, "Hang on that tight there, they'll be going for a buggy ride." So if you're going for a buggy ride tonight, maybe, hallelujah, just make sure you don't fall out. We don't fall out, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8 of Exodus chapter 17. Amalek came and fought with Israel. Now, according to Genesis 36 verse 12, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. In fact, he came about through marrying the people of God to the world, basically, because Esau took his wife from the people of Canaan. And Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Now Amalek, one of the meanings of Amalek is a valley dweller. I call him a bottom feeder. Another meaning is warlike or people of prey. Is that starting to sound like anyone we know? We have an enemy who goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can to devour. He's a being of prey. And I believe, you see, God's very clear here. It tells us in Exodus chapter 17, verse 16, that there will be Amalek will be that he will be at war with Amalek from generation to generation. Who knows how it comes down to her generation? I believe there's an Amalek spirit that still seeks to war against the people of God. Now, the Amalekites are distinguished in the scriptural record by two particularly unpleasant characteristics: cruelty and cowardice. Cruelty and cowardice. Whenever an Amalekite is involved in a biblical account, these two characteristics will be present. They were extremely evil people who not only committed cruel acts, but they committed them in a cowardly manner. So although they were warlike, although they were warriors, they weren't noble warriors. Is it still sounding familiar? Come on, devil! The devil and his demons, they have no mercy. And yet when Jesus showed up, they started pleading with him. Come on. In their dealings with people, they have no mercy whatsoever. And yet when Jesus showed up and they recognized they'd more than met their match, they started pleading. They showed up their cowardice. So the Amalekites were warriors, but they were not noble warriors because they never fought a fair fight. Go back through the scriptural record for yourself and you'll discover that. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, if you want to go there. Why was the merciful God, why was the God of all mercy so upset with these people? That he said that he would be at war with them from generation to generation. Well, here you go. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17. Here's an example of their cruelty and their cowardice. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. It says, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary. And he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." He came in and he attacked the rear, he attacked the stragglers, the weak. He pulled them out. They might have a name that they were warlike, they might have been a name that they were warriors, but they weren't noble warriors. They were very cruel, and they were cowards. Never fought fair. I'm telling you, these guys really do display the cruel and cowardly nature of the devil and his demons. They prey on weakness, and they show no mercy. Do you hear what I'm saying? The devil preys on weakness, and he shows no mercy. The Bible tells us that we have to support the weak. Come on. Hallelujah. And that can pan out in many different ways. In 1 Samuel 15, we see how the Lord dictates that the Amalekite spirit should be dealt with. Remember Saul? Saul failed to honor his spiritual leader, who was Samuel. Samuel brought the word of the Lord to Saul. He said, "I want you to go in there and I want you to destroy the Amalekites. Everything. Everything, including the women, the children, and all of the animals, everything destroyed." And of course, Saul didn't take that word seriously. And when Samuel comes down to the camp, he begins to hear the bleating of sheep and the blowing of cattle. And he comes to Saul and he says, "What's this I'm hearing? What's going on here?" And Saul starts to make excuses, you know, and blames the people, because who knows, when you're wrong, the first thing you want to do is shift the blame onto somebody else. Come on. I'll tell you, I've counseled too many people to know that when they've failed to do what God said, there's always somebody else to blame. They had a clear word from God, and they ignored that word, and they rejected that word, and then they want to shift the blame onto somebody else. And Samuel says, "Because you failed to do this, then the Lord's going to take away everything from you. You're going to lose everything, including your kingdom." And he discovers that not only has he spared the animals, but he spared the king, whose name was Agag. He had very foolishly spared the life of the Amalekite king Agag, who really was a bit of a greasy individual. When Samuel shows up with Agag starts to, you know, talk all kind of smarmy-like, you know. Oh, well, surely the day of bitterness of death has passed, and blah, 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 you know. And it says that Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. No mercy for the merciless. God has no mercy for the merciless. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But he has no mercy for the merciless. It's an interesting thing also to note that it was an Amalekite who brought news of Saul's death to David. He even claimed to have, he brought Saul's crown, he brought his arm bracelet, and he even claimed to have finished him off, thinking that he would be rewarded by David. I mean, Saul was already on his last knockings, but he finished him off. But you see, David still honored Saul as the Lord's anointed. So David called for one of the young men to execute the Amalekite because he had killed the anointed of the Lord. He did not fear, because David said he had not feared God. He said, how come you weren't afraid to touch the Lord's anointed? 1 Chronicles 16:22 and Psalm 105 verse 15 says the same thing. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. What's the title of the message this evening? Stand by your man. Supporting your leader. You see, the Lord is always and perpetually at war with the Amalek spirit from generation to generation. And so in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9, hallelujah, let's go back there. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. The rod of God represented God's authority, represented God's power. We now have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Not the word of God, they didn't have the word of God yet because Moses had to write the first five books of it. I'm not sure how far he got with it by that point. Hallelujah. The rod of God represented the word of God, represented the authority of God, it represented the power of God. And the leader wields the sword of the Spirit, the sword and the authority on behalf of God's people. Hallelujah. Amen. But it says in verses 11 to 12, it says, Moses' hands became weary of being held up. Who takes advantage of weariness? The Amalekite spirit. That's why it's vital that leaders have a support system. You hear what I'm saying this evening? I said, that's why it's vital that the leader has a support system. I want to tell you, Wednesday night, I went home from here looking for a network, for a denominational association, for something. I went online looking to see what was out there, see what I could find. Because I don't know if you know, but you had a test here on Wednesday night, and I let you mark your own paper. And I won't say any more about it than that. Hallelujah. It's interesting that you go into Exodus 18 that Moses receives advice from Jethro on not carrying the burden alone. You can go back and read that for yourself. That can be your homework. Hallelujah. But according to verse 12, Aaron and Hur recognized or discerned that Moses was weary, and they supported his hands. First of all, they brought a rock for him to sit on, and then they got one on either side of him, and they got his hands, and they lifted up his hands. They didn't move him out of the way and grab the opportunity for a takeover bid. They didn't say, oh, well, obviously Moses is finished. Let's get him out of the way, and I'll grab the rod, and I'll hold up. Come on. He didn't grab the rod out of his hand and hold it up. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Are you catching this? No, they knew that the rod had to be in Moses' hand. Because he was God's appointed leader. Because he was the man. And they knew they had to stand by their man. And support their leader. They didn't take the rod off and say, give me that rod, I'll hold it up. No, they got on either side of him and they got his hands. I want to tell you, I remember one time many years ago in the old Key Street building, and God was moving that night, and God spoke, and two men got on either side of me and held up my hands, and neither of them are here anymore. But it was a God thing. There's not much I can do about that, but I don't know. I think God might be working on them somewhere along. There'll be one guy, I met him a few times, and he mentions it. He's mentioned it more than once. Obviously, God, the Spirit of God convicted him once at some level on that. Hallelujah. It wasn't even the two people I would have expected to have been there. It was a God thing. This is very important this evening. This is just really, God's just bringing this so strongly to my spirit right now. God, just this afternoon, this word just began to unfold for me. And right now, as I've just been speaking this, that's so important that we catch that. They did not take the rod from Moses and say, I'll hold it up. Because they knew they had no right and authority to do that. They knew they had to hold up, that this rod had to be in Moses' hands. Hallelujah. So three ways, folks. I've got three ways that I believe that the Spirit of God would communicate to you tonight on how you can support your leader. Number one. These are the hardest words to bring. You know that, don't you? The hardest kind of message to bring. But number one, here it is. Like I said, I was going to, I mean, the title just came to me, I don't know, probably about 4:30, Stand By Your Man. Then I thought, well, this is really about praying. Because I thought the message was about praying for your leader. And I thought, well, I like snappy titles, you know what I'm saying? Let's grab a title out there somewhere, you know. Stand By Your Man, that sounds good. Then I thought, I'll subtitle it, Praying For Your Leader, because I thought that sounded a bit boring on its own, you know what I'm saying? And the Spirit of God said, no, it's not just about praying, it's about supporting your leader. And so three ways you can support your leader. There's probably more, but here's just three for you. Number one, be there. Simply, just be there. Do you know what encouragement that brings when you're there? Do you know what level of discouragement can come against you when you're not there? Can come against the leader when you're not there? You see, when you're just, even just being there shows support. Brings encouragement. I mean, it's interesting that the word's coming tonight when there's so many people not here. Come on. Just be there, you know, because you see, when you've got when the leader has the heart of a shepherd, the first thing he does, every time the people of God come and go, he looks who's there, who's not there. He's not looking at who's there, he's looking at who's not there. Wondering where they are. Wondering what could have happened to them. Wondering what's going on. Jesus left. He gave that parable of the shepherd leaving the 99 to go after the one. I was looking this morning thinking, where's Ali? I went upstairs, I phoned him 4 times, no reply. Where's Ali? I went out the door and I went round the corner. I was about to get in my car and go looking for him. Then I met Anne and Anne says, I'll phone Chris because Ali's supposed to be picking him up. You understand, the number one way you can support your leader is just be there. Just be there. You don't understand how much it means when you're there. Moses had his Joshua, Elijah had his Elisha, Paul had his Timothy, Jesus had Peter, James and John. We all need people who we will know will be there. The leader needs you to be there for him when he's not there as well. He needs you standing up for him, supporting him when that cowardly Amalekite spirit tries to exploit weakness. They're valley dwellers. You know, the leader has to go down into the valley sometimes because that's where you find the people that you come to minister to. And the Amalekite spirit tries to exploit your vulnerability in the valley. That's why you need your leader on the mountain. You need to give your leader mountain time. You need to make sure he has opportunities to get away and recharge. See, God set me up. He said he assigned a place for me. Just happens to be 5,000 miles away. Because an eagle always returns to the rock from which it took its first flight, from which it launched out. And God launched me out in ministry from Tennessee. And he kept sending me back there to recharge. And sometimes it's hard to get back there. Right now, I'm like this. I need to go. It's been over a year and a bit. And I think, I need to go. When I go there, I just get before the Lord. And the Lord begins to download stuff into my spirit. And begins to speak to me and recharges me. And I come back. And it's good for you when I come back. But it's not always easy to, not just the time, it's everything else. And I look online, I look for flights, and I think, oh no, but you need to understand, and the leader needs you to be there when he's not there. When the Amalekite spirit comes in and begins to suck on you and begins to find places of weakness. Hallelujah. He needs to know that when he's not there, that you will be there holding the fort. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. It's quite exciting, really, isn't it? What do you think? Exciting? Amen. Nuts and bolts stuff. Hallelujah. Who likes nuts and bolts? Who had the Meccano say it when they were a kid? Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's not Shondai stuff, maybe, but it is nuts and bolts stuff. Okay. You might not be running across the top of the chairs tonight, but it's nuts and bolts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 16. Therefore I urge you, imitate me, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. Even though I'm not there, he's there on my behalf. Yeah. Having him there is as good as having me there, Paul's saying. He will remind you of my ways in Christ. He won't be telling you about his ways, he'll be reminding you of my ways. As I teach everyone, because his ways are my ways. As I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son. And the Lord, He will remind you of my ways in Christ. I'm not there, but He'll be there. And Him being there will be just like me being there, Paul said. Number one, way that you can support your leader is, come on, help me, is be there. Say, be there. Be there. Number two is to pray. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about standing by your man, supporting your leader. It's your leader. You're not supporting some gonk that's just taking something upon himself. Come on, it's just because he's got a bit of an ego. He's on an ego trip. No, it's your leader to lead you, to help you, to bless you, to lead you into the places of God's blessing. To equip you to stand. Come on. Well then. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. To be able to stand against that Amalekite spirit. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. That word means to vigorously oppose, to bravely resist, to stand face to face against an adversary. Stand in your ground. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day when the Amalekite spirit shows up, that you may be able to withstand him, and having done all, to stand in him. Of course, we know the whole armor of God. But there's an interesting thing at the end that most people don't even talk about when they speak about it. When you see the nice wee pictures that they draw of the armor of God, I never see this. But it's all, he doesn't even put a full stop between the sword of the spirit and this in verse 18. He says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and, verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I am, he's saying this is part of your armor, that you pray for me, It's part of your armor. He's saying that you pray for me. It's part of your armor that you pray for your spiritual leader. That I may open my mouth boldly, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. Part of your armor, Paul says, is to pray for your leader. Like we said, the selfish answer, why should you support your leader? Why should you stand by your man? Because it's good for you. Praying for a leader is part of your spiritual armor that withstands the enemy that cuts off the Amalekite spirit. That comes to prey on weakness. I'll tell you something, folks. I said that Amalekite spirit is characterized by cruelty and cowardice. I have had many cruel words spoken to me as a leader. By the people that God appointed me to lead. Many, many cruel, I'm talking about cruel words, but they weren't just cruel words. They didn't come from a very brave stance. It wasn't someone being very brave and speaking cruel words to the pastor. No, it was coming from a cowardly position because they knew I wouldn't fight back like for like. They knew they could say what they wanted and they wouldn't get the same back. That's a coward. That's not a brave warrior. That's a stinking coward. That's what that is. That's that Amalekite spirit. You're not here to have a go at people. We're here to expose that spirit. God's got no mercy for demons, but he's got mercy for the people, glory to God, that have allowed themselves to be messed with. Come under the influence of these demons. Shakabo, come on. Smile at me, Katrina. It's great to have Katrina back. I love her so much. She's my wife, and I love her. Hallelujah. That's that Amalekite spirit. Tries to wear you out. I want to tell you something. How can you support me? Pray for me. Don't criticize me. Pray for me. I don't need your words of criticism. I've got enough of them on my own. I spend enough time criticizing myself. I don't need your help. I need you to pray for me. Maybe you see weakness. Well, pray for me. I ain't perfect, you know that. Bless God, I'm far from it. As I said, some of you are going to live under the same roof as me for half an hour. My wife's man is 27 years so far, and she's going to do another 40 at least, hallelujah. But I don't need your criticism, I need you to pray for me. How are you going to support me? How are you going to stand by your man, support your leader? Pray. Don't criticize. It'll be better for you, and it'll be better for everybody. You see the weakness, then pray. And don't pray witchcraft prayers either. Pray to the one who knows exactly what's going on and how to resolve it. Hallelujah. Just hand it over to him. And keep handing it over to him. And keep thanking him that he's working on it. Keep thanking him that he's doing something about it. Keep thanking him that it's working. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. If we get this through this without crying, we'll be doing okay. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, Peter and James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." You understand, there's some tough things that leaders have to pass through. And they need you to watch with them. This is Jesus speaking. "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He knows the battle is always in the soul realm. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them watching, no, sleeping. and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me even 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father," what was it? See, they were weary, they were tired, they were sleeping, that spirit of slumber came on them. The Amalekite spirit, he loves that weariness. "This cup cannot pass away from me," he prayed, "unless I drink it, your will be done." He came again and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, so he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinners." If he ever needed his guys, he needed them then. If he ever needed to know that he had the support of his friends, he needed it then. They lay him down. "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Some things that leaders go through, all they need you to do is watch with them. Peter, James, and John, Jesus' inner circle, were given to weariness, the Amalekite spirit's favorite condition, just when Jesus needed their support the most. Number one, what can you do to support your leader? Come on, help me. Be there. Number two, what can you do to support your leader? You could pray. Number three, it's a toughie, this one. Bless them financially. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 from the Amplified Bible says this: "Let the elders who perform the duties of their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and of adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain,' and again, 'The laborer is worthy of his hire.'" I'd like to say this tonight. Some of you, you know who you are, have been very faithful in this. And tonight I would like to take the opportunity to express my heartfelt gratitude. But I wonder if some people even actually wonder how much I'm paid or whether it's sufficient or not. No, I don't ever remember anybody ever asking me. Poor Katrina's just sitting there thinking, "I wish I'd stayed in Glasgow." You see, you understand financial stresses are very real. The preacher doesn't just live by his own faith. He's dependent on the faith of others. He's dependent on them doing what God says. Hello? Come on. Paul had it. Look, I can't say this without quoting the scripture, and I just brought you scripture tonight, that's all. I was up there, I thought we were going to talk about praying for your leaders tonight, and the Lord said, "No, but there's more to it than that, Donnie, old chap." I said, "Well, give me a few points," and he said, "Well, here they go." Just like this, boom, this happened in a half an hour, over the course of half an hour. Be there. I wasn't expecting to hear that. Be there. Pray. Bless them financially. Oh, I can't talk about that, especially if Katrina's coming back. See, God designed it that way. Back in the Old Covenant, the Levites had no inheritance in the land. They were totally dependent on the other tribes providing for them. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 19, from the CEB version of the Bible. "You Philippians know from the time of my first mission work in Macedonia how no church shared in supporting," say supporting, "no church shared in supporting my ministry except you. You sent contributions repeatedly to take care of all my needs, even while I was in Thessalonica. I'm not hoping for a gift, listen to this, but I am hoping for a profit that accumulates in your account. I am full to overflowing because I received the gifts that you sent. Those gifts give off a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that pleases God. My God will meet." See, a lot of people like to start the quote from Philippians chapter 4 right here. "My God will meet your every need out of his riches and the glory that is found in Christ Jesus." But you see, if you want to have that scripture in context, you've got to back up a few verses. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. Moses' hands became weary of being held up. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. In verse 15 it says, and Moses built an altar and called its name Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. See, listen to this, folks. Even though it was Aaron and Hur who supported Moses in his position as leader, it was the Lord who gave them the victory. It wasn't Aaron and Hur who brought victory, or Moses. It wasn't Aaron, Moses, or Hur that brought victory. It was the Lord, and Moses recognized that. And that's why he built an altar to worship the Lord and to declare that the Lord is my banner. See, he's always the one who strengthens us. He's always the one who gives us victory over the cruel and cowardly spirit of Amalek. Just one more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just want you to hear. I mean, it's, oh, Paul, oh, the Apostle Paul, what a guy, oh, awesome guy, oh, fantastic guy, never been a guy like him. If we'd been around when Paul was around, oh, yes, yes, yes. Most people wouldn't even have him anywhere near the church. Let's say that, to be perfectly frank. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. He's not there. I thought he'd be there, but he ain't there. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our word. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Doesn't matter who gets alongside us and lifts up our hands, and that's what we have to be, and that's what we have to do. We have to stand by our man, and we have to be a support to our leaders. But it doesn't matter who does that or who doesn't do that. The Lord is the one who gives us the victory. Hallelujah. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I also was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That Amalekite spirit came and tried to exploit the weakness of everyone forsaking me. The disappointment and the discouragement that resulted, the weariness that resulted out of everyone forsaking me. But the Lord stood with me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me just finish with this tonight. What can you do to stand by your man? What can you do to support your leader? Number one, be there. Number two, pray. Number three, bless financially. And I'll tell you, the Lord will be our banner, and he will be the one who gives us the victory. MD into building an altar tonight and worshiping the Lord, Yahweh Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. Are you here tonight to build an altar? You want to build an altar? You want to just get us in worship? Hallelujah. And just acknowledge his presence. That's what Moses was doing. He was acknowledging God's presence in the battle. The one who came to give them the victory. The one who came to give them. But there's a place. There's a place for Aaron's, and there's a place for hers. That's, MD says that women don't have a place of ministry in the church. Just need to look at her. Just remember her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people. I thank you for your church. I thank you for your body. I thank you for your people across the nations, Father, Lord, gathering together in different places, Lord. I pray, Father God, that all of your people would recognize the importance of following your directives, of following your order, of being in that place of support, in that place of taking their possession, of honoring. Thank you, Lord, that those who sow honor reap favor. Thank you, Lord, those who honored Paul from Philippi, Lord, reaped favor from you. You met all of their needs. Paul had confidence that you would meet all of their needs because the sacrifices that they made were had an aroma of a sweet-smelling savor that went up and reached the nostrils of God. And he breathed in that smell and he breathed out more life and blessing and favor all over these people. Thank you, Father. But that's your heart. That's your passion. That's who you are. The Lord our banner. The Lord is my banner. Yahweh. I breathe. He breathes. I breathe. He breathes. I breathe. He breathes. I breathe. You breathe and I breathe. You breathe and I breathe. You breathe. You breathe life. I breathe it in. I breathe in and I breathe out your praise. I breathe in your presence and I breathe out your praise. Lord, as we just go into a time of worship, I pray, Father God, that we just breathe out your praise. Breathe in your presence. Breathe out your praise. Make a declaration, a proclamation over this place tonight that the Lord is our banner, who always gives us victory over the Amalekite spirit and every other wicked spirit that seeks to hinder your purposes amongst your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.